solid rock. Thankful for. Lord, there's so much to give you blessing and honor and glory for, but today we just want to thank you. Lord, you gave us an absolutely beautiful day. Lord, you gave us people that can come together and worship with you. And Lord, we just want to thank you for everything that you've given to us. And I know the last month and a half, however long, it's been tough for a lot of people. Lord, it's tough being in the house, depressed and discouraged. But Lord, today I pray that as we come together as your people, I pray that your presence might meet with us in this parking lot, God. I pray that you will show everybody in this world that you cannot be confined by a building, or you cannot be confined by anything. You are bigger than all of that stuff. But Lord, I pray that just right now that you would meet with us in a special way. But Lord, more than anything, I pray that if one person drove in here today and they don't know Christ as their Savior, I pray that before they leave this place, they'll know you as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' precious name we do pray. Amen.
Thank you. glory.
Y'all hear me out there? Johnny, can you hear me?
All right. Really good. Amen. All righty.
Good to be in church this morning. If you have your Bibles, if you brought them with you, I want you to go to Romans chapter number 13. If you don't have your Bibles, most of you have a smartphone, and you can find these verses there on your smartphone. So if you could open up to that this morning. I hope it's going to be hard for you to fall asleep today in your car. Sometimes it's easy to fall asleep sitting in the pews, but I hope you won't fall asleep today sitting in your car. So Romans chapter number 13, we'll begin reading in verse number 11 this morning. It's the Apostle Paul writing, and he says, "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." And that's where we'll stop this morning. May God add His blessing to His Word. I want to ask you a question. If you're sitting with your wife or your husband or anybody this morning, you can answer this question amongst yourselves. When you go on a long road trip, there's usually one person in the car that wants to go the whole way without stopping. And there's usually another person in the car that wants to stop every 2 hours. That's my wife. She wants to stop about every 2 hours. I would rather just go on and chuck it to the destination until we get there and just be good with it. I'll never forget. I think it was about last year, probably around the fall. Miss Sue McAllister will remember this. We went on the trip with the seniors up to Tennessee. And Johnny Garrison, it was me and Johnny Garrison. We were the only males on that bus. And when we got on that bus, I knew me and him was in trouble. Because when you go on a trip with the seniors, it's good because you're going to stop and get Krispy Kreme. Somebody say amen. But the bad thing is you're going to have to stop and shop about every hour. And that's what happened. We started on our way up to Tennessee, and the seniors saw something, and they said, "Hey, pull over. We want to see this." You know what I did? I ate it like I didn't hear it. I was driving, and I said, no, we can't stop. We just got to get there. About 30 minutes later, they saw something and said, "We need to stop." I just acted like I didn't hear it again. By the end of it, they was throwing shoes at me, saying, "Hey, we're telling you to stop. We need to stop." And finally, once they started throwing stuff, I stopped for them. But there's a lot of people that want to stop, that want to get there to their destination. But we've all been there before, whether you need to stop or go home without stopping. But there's one thing that feels good when you finally arrive at your destination. And I tell you this, there are two things that you're excited about when you arrive at your destination. It is using the bathroom and getting something to eat. Using the bathroom and getting something to eat are the two things that you're most excited about when you reach your destination. But when you get out of the car and you're excited to get to that place, you find out something. Your legs are not working the way you wanted your legs to work. Because you've been sitting in the car for so long, when you get out, your legs don't work. That is because your legs are what we call asleep. The reason our legs go to sleep during times like that is because they've been inactive for a period of time. And when you're inactive, not doing anything, that always is going to lead to going to sleep. Now we know the Apostle Paul is the writer of this New Testament book, the book of Romans. And when we get to chapter number 13 this morning, and we get down to verse number 11, I want you to picture this. It's almost like God is through the Apostle Paul. And there's young soldiers that have just enlisted in the army, and it's about 4 o'clock in the morning, and they're sleeping still in their dorm room. The general and the sergeant is going to start marching around, beating on the door, saying, "Boys, it is time to wake up. There's no time for sleep. It is time to wake up." And you see, this is exactly what God is calling this church in Rome to do. It is no longer time to be asleep, but it is time to wake up and get moving. And when he says it is high time to awake out of sleep, that doesn't mean that they were physically asleep. But this means that they had been in a state of inactivity. In other words, they weren't doing anything for God. They weren't active in the kingdom of God. And that's apparently what began to happen here in the church in Rome. Now, this shouldn't surprise us when you read about the church of Jesus Christ going to sleep. Because that happens all the time, doesn't it? We see in Matthew's gospel, it was the most critical hours in Jesus' life. The most crucial hours in Jesus' life was that Thursday and that Friday of Passion Week. And when you get to that Thursday night, Jesus looked at his disciples and said, "My hour is come." And Jesus is saying, listen, the reason I have been born is here. The reason I've walked on earth for 33 years is here, for in the next few hours I will go to the cross and die on the cross. Now, you would imagine when Jesus said, "My hour has come," the disciples would say, "Well, let's go pray. Let's start fasting. Let's start doing things for God that we've never done before, since this is a crucial hour." But when you find that Thursday night when Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, the disciples were not even awake. Peter, James, and John were asleep. Physically asleep. I want you to think about that. That was not only the most crucial hour in Jesus' life, that was the most crucial hour in human history. For if Christ had not went and died on the cross, no one could get to God. No one could have eternal life. That was the most crucial hour in human history. And Jesus' closest followers were literally asleep. They were asleep. And church, I believe that in all my heart, today is one of the most crucial hours in church history. It is one of the most crucial hours in church history that we are living in right now. And the bad thing is, we just might be following a bad example. We might be following the example of the disciples. In this most crucial hour, we have found ourselves asleep. And you know, today, when Paul came to the church in Rome, at least he wrote this letter to them, he made a call. He said, listen, boys, girls, it's time to wake up. It is time to get moving, and it is time to get active for God. In the same way Paul was sent by God, I believe I've been sent here to give you a message today that, church, it is time for you and me to wake up and get moving. I want to show you just two things today. I ain't got 3 points. I got 2 points today. I knew y'all would be hungry. The first point I want you to see today is that we need to understand the time. Understanding the time. If you have your Bible, verse number 11, it says three words. Paul says, and that knowing the time. Knowing the time. Now, there's something you need to understand about the time in which we live. Number one, darkness is ruling. Darkness is ruling. Now, I have heard this statement all of my life. When people start talking about how bad the world is, there's always somebody that pipes up in the back and says, yeah, but there's more good than there is bad. And you know, that sounded good when I was growing up. But today, if you were to walk up to me and say, there's more good in this world than there is bad, I would look at you and say, what world are you living in? To where you think there's more good in this world than there is bad. It actually goes against the Bible to say that good is overruling evil in the world in which we're living. This is not a day in which good is on top. This is a day in which evil is on top. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, some of you that may have never read this, you might find it interesting. It says that Satan, the devil, the adversary, is the god of this world. Satan is the god of this world. Therefore, because Satan God has given him a little bit of control, allowed him to have control over this world is not going to be a good place. But this world is going to be a place that is filled with wickedness and evil. And it is dominated by evil, not just in America, but all across our globe. You say, give me some evidence that evil is ruling today. I hate to tell you to turn on the news, but turn on the news. You'll find that evil is ruling today. But I want you to hear some real evidence today. In the great state of Kentucky, I'm not talking about California, New York, Texas, one of these that are out there. I'm talking about Kentucky, southeastern state. 600 people the past month in one building in Kentucky lost their lives. 600 people, not just across the whole state, in one building lost their life in one building. And guess what? It was not due to a stinking virus. It was due to something called abortion. In one building, in one month, in the state of Kentucky, 600 human being babies were aborted and murdered and killed. That is evidence right there that evil is ruling. Because do you know what the government calls that? They don't say that's wrong, you can't do that. They're saying it's right, it's lawful, you can do that. That shows you right there that evil is on top in the world in which we're living. For if Christ were on top, right would be called right and wrong would be called wrong. But now because the devil is ruling in this world, the moral order has been flipped around and evil is now called right and wrong. Wrong is now called right and right is now wrong. The moral order has been flipped around. Evil is ruling in the world in which we're living. And did you know that goes right along with what the Word of God teaches? Mostly everybody that's sitting here today has been on this earth longer than I have. And you can answer this question. Johnny, is things getting better?
No.
Things are getting worse, Ben. The Bible says, evil men shall wax worse and worse. It's not getting better. The Bible says it's going to continue to get worse and worse and worse. And we've seen that from January to May. It just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. Understanding the time, we need to understand that, number one, darkness is ruling. That's the bad news. Here's some good news. Not only is darkness ruling, darkness is fading. Darkness is not only ruling, darkness is fading. Verse 12 in our text says, the night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Do you know what that text is basically saying? That's saying if you wake up and look at your watch and your watch says about 5:55 a.m., that means when the sun comes up at 6:20, the darkness and the night is going to be gone and the day is going to be here. It means that dark is almost gone and day is almost here. Paul says, although it's dark in the world in which we live, it's almost gone. It's almost far spent, for the day is going to come to where the sun is going to rise with healing in his wings, and he is going to come back, and he is going to take his rightful place as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the owner of this world. That's what's going to happen. Although it's dark right now, darkness is beginning to fade, and the light is about to start shining, because the Bible tells us, and although it's going to get worse and worse, there's going to come a time where King Jesus comes back. And darkness will no longer rule. Darkness will no longer reign. But Christ will reign. And in that day, right will be called right. Wrong will be called wrong. The night, the Bible says, I want you to think about that. He said the night is far spent. That was 2,000 years ago. If the night was almost gone 2,000 years ago, how close do you think we're today, right now, in the year 2020? I can't tell you time, but I can tell you I believe in all my heart we're real close to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Darkness is not only ruling today, darkness is fading today. It's going to fade out when the return of the Lord Jesus comes back. I want you to understand one thing this morning in our text. Not only do we need to understand the time, but secondly, I want to give you this. When you understand the time, it gives us an urgency to respond. When we understand the time we're living in, it gives us an urgency to respond. Paul said, when you know the time, verse 11, now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Paul's basically saying when you understand that night is almost gone, day is almost here, we will realize one thing. It is time to wake up and get moving. It's time to wake up and get moving. Now, some of your answers might be different to this. But let's say you wake up tomorrow morning and you know you've got a meeting at 8 a.m. Number one, I hate meetings at 8 a.m. But let's say you wake up and you roll out of bed and you check that clock and it says 7:45 a.m. and your alarm clock didn't go off. There are some people that would say, well, I'm just going to skip it. But there are also some people who's going to get up just like this, get dressed, get their clothes, brush their teeth, get in the car, and they'll make it there at 8:01. They'll get up because they realize when they realize they're going to be late, the time is running out, they need to get up and get moving. This passage in Scripture is made to do that exact same thing. To make us realize the time is running out, the time is running late, and it gives us an urgency that we need to get up as the church and get moving. And get moving. Also, the time to awake out of sleep. Remember, to awake out of sleep means to be active. Sleep means to be inactive. To be awake means to be active. I'm going to give you three things and I'll be done today. I believe we as the church need to wake up in three ways. We need to wake up together in three ways. Number one, we need to wake up and be active in our service. We need to be active in our service. You know, the hour in which we live, there is so many things to catch our eye and catch our attention. So many things to pull us in so many different directions to take our time and to take our attention. TV, internet, your job, all these things that just totally consume our days. And what it does is it, some of those things draw us away, that our attention gets on those things instead of our attention being on, how can I serve God today? We get so wrapped up in the worldly things of this world. Some of the things aren't bad. Watching TV is not a bad thing to do, but we're going on Facebook is not a bad thing to do. But let me tell you something about Facebook. Sitting on eight hours on Facebook is a bad thing to do. Because you know what's going to happen? You're going to get depressed. You're going to get mad and you're going to get mean. Because what people do on Facebook when it says what's on your mind, you know what they do? Put what's on their mind. And there's a lot of people that just put everything out there. Facebook will make you mad. I've said it many times. Time for us to get off Facebook and get our faith in the book. Amen. The book. Amen. You know, I want you to think about this. God, as He saved our soul, and He didn't leave us here to be entertained. He didn't leave us here to entertain other people. He left us here to serve Him. Serve Him. Now, I want you to think about this. My calculation is right, it's probably not. But we are 130 days into this year. 130 days into the year 2020. Do you realize how much could have been done for God in the past 130 days? How much we could have served God in the past 130 days? Think about how much can be done in 130 days. God created the heaven and the earth in 6 days and everything in it. God flooded the whole entire globe in 40 days. In 40 days, Jericho was thrown down as they walked around it in 7 days. The walls around Jerusalem were built in the book of Nehemiah in a mere 52 days. That's all it took them when they came together and worked together. And 3 days is a day that we all like to say. In 3 days, Jesus be dead. A lot can be done in just 3 days. Think about how much we could do in the past 150 days. The old quote that I'll never forget, it says, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life will soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. Did you know the things that you and I do for Christ on this earth will last? the things that I did in sports, some of those trophies, that they're not going to last. You know what will last throughout all of eternity? The things we do for Christ. Because the Bible says there's coming a day. Romans 14 actually says everyone shall give an account of himself to God. There's going to come a day where each and every person in this parking lot is going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're saved, He's not going to judge you. He's going to judge what you did. See, our sin's already been judged on the cross. When we get to the judgment seat of Christ, what He's going to judge is our service to Him. How much we did for Him, what did we do for Him. And in that day, I wish that no one in this parking lot would walk away from that judgment seat with absolutely nothing. I wish we'd all walk away with something, because God hands out rewards to people who serve Him. We don't serve God to get rewards down here, but the Bible says we will get rewarded up there for our service to Him. And how sad would it would be if we spent our whole life down here focused on other things that didn't matter. And when we get there, there's nothing to show for what we did down here. We need to wake up in the way that we serve God. And the Bible says, do it now. We've all had something in the back of our minds to think, I would love to start doing that for God. I would love to start singing in the choir, Miss Beth. I would love to start going to Sunday school. I would love to start serving in this capacity, not only in the church, but at my work, at my job, with my family. I would love to do this for God, but we just keep putting it off, don't we? We say, well, maybe next week, maybe next month, maybe next year. Paul says, don't even wait till tomorrow. Start serving God today. Start doing what God has put on your heart to do today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Start doing it now. Church, we need to wake up in the way that you and I serve God. Secondly, our text tells us not only we need to wake up in our service, we need to wake up to our sin. We need to wake up to our sin. Verse 12 says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. That's basically an illustration to these people that they need to throw off their pajamas and put on their work clothes. That's basically what that's saying. You don't go to work in your pajamas. You go to work in your work clothes to get ready. And Paul's saying, listen, it's time to cast off the works of darkness. And darkness in the Bible is most of the time used to describe unrighteousness, sin, something that is against God. For God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And Paul is telling this church, you need to cast off those works of darkness. Now, what do you think about this? Paul is not writing this to unbelievers. Paul is writing this to born-again believers, saying it is time to get rid of that sin that you're playing around in. It's time to get rid of that sin that is ruining your life, that is ruining your day, that is contradicting your life as a Christian. He's talking to born-again believers. And what's interesting to me, he names three specific sins. Just three. And I'm sure the church at Rome were struggling with them, or he wouldn't have named them. Verse 13. He says, let us walk honestly, not in rioting, or here's the first one, and drunkenness. Not in chambering and wantonness. Another word for wantonness there in the King James is sexual immorality, lust of any sort. And not in strife and envy. So he says you need to cast off the drunkenness, the immorality, and the strife. Now, somebody tell me the Bible's not inspired. Because those three sins that the church in Rome struggled with 2,000 years ago are the three sins that the church is dealing with today. Drunkenness, immorality, and strife. You know what's real good about this? I'll just go ahead and say it. We Christians sometimes like to judge other people. Amen. We like to. just, amen, it's just in our nature to do it. And what we do, we place people that get drunk, I mean, they're all the way up here. They're the worst sinners in America, the people who get drunk. Over here, the people who commit adultery, commit sexual immorality, I mean, they're all the way up here. They're the worst sinners in America. They're at the top of the list. But look what Paul places right beside drunkenness and immorality. Strife. Strife. You know what that means? Fighting against which color the pew's going to be. Fighting. The same way Paul says drunkenness, immorality, he puts strife right up beside it. So he says the same way when you get drunk, it's a sin against God. When you commit immorality, it's a sin against God. It's the same way when you start fighting with one another over small little stuff, it is a sin against God. Y'all can say amen to this if you want to. Listen, the church of Jesus Christ was not made to fight against each other. They were made to fight beside each other. Amen. The church was not made to fight against each other. They were made to fight beside each other. Paul says we need to put off strife. Put off all of those things. And he names those three things. We need to put off the sin in our life. For when we imagine Jesus coming back before this service is over, the last thing we want to do, we don't want to see it, but we want to be found serving Him. We want to be found serving Him. The church this morning, we need to wake up in the way that we serve God. Whatever you've been thinking about doing, start doing it right now for God. We need to awake to our sin, but thirdly, we need to awake to salvation. We need to awake to salvation. Some of you can remember this in the Bible. Found in Acts chapter number 24. The Apostle Paul was arrested basically for preaching the gospel. They ship him all around the world to judge him. And he comes to a man named Felix. Felix was his name. Felix was the head of the land. Felix and Paul sit down together one day. And Paul begins to just flat out tell him the gospel. Share the gospel with him. I mean, this is an evangelistic Billy Graham type sermon that Paul shares with Felix. And at the end of it, this most powerful person on the face of the planet, one of them, looks at Paul, and I want to give you his exact quote when he heard the gospel. Paul, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Paul shared the gospel with him and said, we all need to be saved. We're all sinners. We've all felt short, but God's grace can pick you up. And Felix looked at Paul and said, not right now. When I feel like getting right with God, I'll call you. You know what the biggest lie the devil tells people, especially young people? That you've got plenty of time to make things right with God. You've got plenty of time to start living right, and you've got plenty of time even to get saved. You're only 20 years old. You'll live until you're 60, 70, 80 years old. When you're 65, maybe you can get saved. But live how you want to live right now. Do what you want to do right now. Then come to God at the end of your life, and everything will be all right. That is one of the greatest lies Satan tells. That you've got plenty of time to get saved. I want you to think about this. Did you realize how many people are in hell right now that plan on getting saved? I believe there are hundreds and thousands of people right now in hell who said at one time on this earth, I plan on getting saved, but just not right now. I plan on accepting Christ, maybe later in life when it's convenient for me. Let me say this. We don't get saved on our timing. We get saved in God's timing. Today, I don't know if you've been watching the news. Most of you have. I don't know if You've read the things that are going on in our world today. But if there has ever been a time that you need to make sure you're saved, it's today. If there's ever been a time that you need to make sure that if you were to pull out of this parking lot and not make it home, you need to make sure for 100% fine that you would die and see the Lord Jesus Christ. Because by the way, we might not die. For the day is almost here. Christ could return before we eat dinner tonight. Let me ask you a question. If you were to die today, before you got home, or if Christ were to come back before you went to sleep tonight, where would you be? Where would you go? The most important question I can ever ask you, have you ever been born again? Have you ever been born again? Being saved is not about coming to church. Being saved is not about giving your tithe. Being saved is not even about reading your Bible or saying a prayer every night before you go to sleep. Being saved is about a time in your life where you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. See, I was born on October 5th, 1993. And I wasn't born then 5 days later or 10 days later. I was born one time on that day. Being born again is not something that happens every Sunday. Being born again is something that happens one time in your life. And when you receive Christ as your Savior, God writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life to where no eraser can ever come to it. And what I want to ask you today is not, are you a church member? It's not, how long have you been coming to church? It's not, do you know John 3:16? What I want to ask you today, do you know Christ? Let me say this, and I'm done. People do not go to hell because they drink beer, smoke pot, say cuss words. People go to hell because they reject the Lord Jesus Christ. People do not go to heaven because we come to church, pay our tithes, and read our Bible. We go to heaven because there was a time in our life that Jesus came knocking, and we let Him in. And today, right where you are, this is not by luck, by chance, by faith, that you're in the parking lot today. This is by God's appointment that you're here. If God has begun to prick your heart and to knock on the door of your heart saying, you need to get saved. I love you. I want you. Let me in. I want you to stop right where you are. I want you to bow your head in prayer. And I want you to say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against God. And I realize that I deserve hell, but today I also realize that you came to this world, that you paid my sin debt on the cross so that I might go to heaven. So today I receive you as my Lord and as my Savior. Come into my heart and to save me and be born again. Thank you for saving me. Jesus' precious and holy name, I do pray. Amen. Amen. If you said that in your heart, you believe that God just came into your life. He just came to live on the inside of you and you just got born again. I would love for you to call somebody in this church. I would love for you to call one of us and say, Justin, today I received Christ. It's my Savior. Church, isn't it good to be here? Y'all come back at 3 o'clock. We'll have church again. No, I'm so thankful that we got to do this today. I'm done. thank for each person coming and playing and singing today. And I just want to thank you all for being here. All the people that set this up, by the way, the only way we can get it to your radio is just this little thing in here. That's all it takes. So we praise the Lord for somebody getting that for us and allowing us to do that today. And I hope you enjoyed being here with us today. We're planning on doing this again next Sunday. So go ahead and make plans to be here with us next Sunday. I hope you've all had a good time in the Lord with us together. It might be a little hectic getting out of here, so make sure you don't hit nobody as you leave this place. But it sure is good to see you. It sure is good to see each one of your faces. I can't wait to be back in the building together. But I do love each one of you. Continue to pray for one another. And I've got a few prayer requests right before we leave. Let's see. Ed, right in front of you. Brother Ed got to come home a few days ago after he had his heart cath, and Ed and Ruby's here today. So I'm so thankful that the Lord touched Brother Ed and allowed him to be here with us again today. But also, I talked to Ann Golson. I saw her the other day, and she told us that we need to be praying for her grandson, Mandy and Alex's son, Mac. He's got a lot going on right now. Of course, most of you know that he was born premature, and he's having a lot of problems right now with his eye. I think it's his right eye. They're having trouble. They don't know if he'll be able to see out of it for right now. But we need to pray for him. We need to pray that God will touch him. And we need to pray that God will intervene in that situation right there. And I know I've got a lot more prayer requests that I need, but those are the two right now that are on my mind. So continue to pray for one another, to love one another, and serve one another. So we thank you so much for being here with us today. Go get you a bite of chicken and tell your mama you love her. Amen. It'll be a good afternoon for you. We love each one of you. I hope you have a good day. Y'all honk one more time for me.